What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Wednesday. What? I put Wednesday on here. My week's all screwed up. My internal clock fucked six ways from Sunday.
It's your Wednesday.
Going to LA, doing it. Yeah, whatever. It's Friday, actually. Don't worry about that. Yesterday, so confused when talking to the games people before Gamescaster. I was like, wait, this comes out and we record. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside Forbes, 30 under 30, a.k.a. the second best baby blues in San Francisco, a.k.a. the verified one at Tim Geddes.
Let's him host. Speaking of Forbes 30 under 30.
Sure.
Nominations are now open for 2020.
Trying to get buried in there?
Wait.
Trying to get buried
in there? Yeah, it's the 2020 list.
Yeah.
And I'm considering buried. But I do want to find someone that I push. Because with great power comes great responsibility.
Sure, you got to find the Miles Morales to your Spider-Man.
Exactly. Now. And it is the thing, like, when you do the nomination form, one of the things they ask you is, are you an alumni of the list? Oh. Which you got to imagine helps
push pushes somebody, right?
Yeah. So I want to push somebody. I just don't know who yet.
Who do we know that's young?
I don't know. Jonathan Dornbush is on
my
list.
No, don't
I
do
like
that.
Him a lot.
No.
You know?
No,
but more than
if you guys have suggestions, let me know. Add Tim Geddes. Serious stuff. Because I do actually want to push this and help someone. Because I appreciated the people that helped me.
How old's Khalif?
I don't know.
He'd be a good one.
Don't know.
Yeah. Gio Corsi.
Yeah, no.
Shuhei Yoshida. I don't understand how the list is built. If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show. Patreon.com/KindaFunnyGames. You can give us your questions, comments, concerns, and everything else under the video game sun. Then tune in to watch the show live on Twitch.tv/KindaFunnyGames. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to KindaFunny.com/you're wrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on YouTube.com/KindaFunnyGames, RoosterTeeth.com, and listening on podcast services around the globe. Housekeeping for you. Tomorrow, we are going to be in Vancouver for Kinda Funny World Tour Vancouver meet and greet stop
at 24 hours.
Less than 24 hours. Yeah.
In and out.
I woke up today. I was brushing my teeth. I'm like, I'm so tired. I look at the clock. I'm like, I'm going to be at the airport tomorrow at this time. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't get better.
That's not good. But then we're going to do a meet and greet. That's going to be super fun.
Going to be
fun.
A great meet and greet. We're very excited about that. Gio Corsi going to be there, of course. Vancouver is hometown. He's coming up to hang out with us. Yeah, very much. The Coos, as they call it. Yeah, that's what I think they all call it. Yeah.
Very, very exciting.
Yeah.
And then Sunday we come back. Pretty damn early in the morning.
Yeah,
like, it's like a 10:55 flight.
Is it?
Yeah,
it's early.
It's not too bad.
It's early though.
Yeah, it's better than 8:30. I mean,
that's literally 24 hours on the ground. We haven't done that for a meet and greet yet. We've usually spent a couple days there.
Then I come back and I have one of Gia's friends' engagement parties I have to go to, which know what that means?
Drinking.
An inevitable fucking wedding.
Oh, okay, sure, yeah. Yes, engagement parties usually beget a wedding. Yes, dude. That's how it usually goes.
It's always
not always
before
though.
The time.
Not always. Sometimes it's sad about that. You know what I mean?
Oh my God, we can only hope.
Jesus Christ!
I don't like them.
You're
that
engaged.
Much. I don't like them that much.
Oh my Lord Almighty! Like, you act like you have to go there and do something. Go there, have a mimosa, talk to the other guys and gals, be like, what do you think of Game of Thrones? There you go. You just solved your conversation.
And then and then you make the excuse of, hey, we got to leave early.
We're tired.
To watch Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Boom, there you go.
When does the Chernobyl thing start on HBO?
The fuck is that?
At the end, when you, it's usually, you suffer through an episode of Game of Thrones, and then they give you also coming up, and then it's Chernobyl. That, you're like, that's interesting. It's coming up sometime in May.
Okay.
Do your fucking job, Barrett, and Google when the goddamn Chernobyl HBO show's happening.
Chernobyl.
You know, all the world at your fingertips. I gotta be over here doing a game show, and it's a huge one. I don't know why we're spending so much time here. Thank you to our Patreon producers today, Tom Bach, Blackjack, and Mohammed. Today we're brought to you by Sherry's Bay. What?
He's typing in Google.
What?
What is the goddamn
show
Chernobyl?
It to people. Don't click on anything. Show them what you typed. When is the goddamn, first off, damn D-A-M, Chernobyl? How young are you? It was a nuclear disaster. They taught you about it in school.
What?
C-H, god damn it, who are you?
I don't blame you, Barrett.
Barrett Courtney, 30 under 30, let's go.
God,
let's go,
no, baby. You just lost it. Now I am stumping for Dornbush. You know what I mean? I was like, I can't have a podcast beyond host.
I just pulled Dornbush out of my ass because I don't know many people that young. We'll talk about this later.
Belinda Garcia, right?
Oh, fuck, that's a good one.
So, hey, all the people, all the young up and comers we've had through.
Okay.
Yeah, Odell Harmon Jr., you know what I mean? Tossing
okay,
out there.
Okay, there's some good ones.
And then Sean Layden.
Cool Greg.
Cool Greg.
Cool Greg, yeah, let's go.
Today we're brought to you by Sherry's Berries and Pro Flowers, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's get serious and begin the show with what is and forever will be a jam-packed Roper Report.
Chernobyl.
It's a good show, or it should be at least. It looks great. Time for some news. Five items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
Strap me. We got some meaty ones here to talk through and read about. Number one. Could the Epic Store lead to lower prices? This is Kyle Orland over at Ars Technica talking to Tim Sweeney from Epic. The Epic Game Store's much beluied. Behooied? How do you say it? Beluied? Beluied, right? It's a weird one. I've seen it written out, but I've never said it.
Bollyhooed.
Bollyhooed. Much Bullhooied, 88% revenue share has been great news for developers who are no longer forced to accept Steam's de facto 70% standard. But this new behind-the-scenes monetary split hasn't resulted in savings for gamers who thus far have seen the same price tags for games on Epic storefront as on Steam when titles are available on both. Speaking to Ars Technica, though, Epic co-founder and CEO Tim Sweeney says that players should look forward to paying less on the Epic Game Store in the future. While Epic leaves pricing decisions completely in the developers' hands, Sweeney said, quote, after you go through several cycles of game developers making decisions, you're going to see lower prices as developers pass on the savings to customers, realizing they can sell more copies if they have a better price. Quote, this sort of economic competition is really healthy for the whole industry and will lead the industry to a better place for all developers and for gamers as well, he continued. It's a supply side thing. This revenue sharing, it's some sort of business arrangement between developers and a store that a gamer generally doesn't see. But as developers reinvest more than 18% of additional revenue into building better games, that's key to the long-term health of the game industry that we all have to look out for, end quote. In launching the Epic Game Store, Sweeney said the company talked with each participating developer to set a benchmark for the kinds of sales they might expect if they launched on Steam. Quote, we felt we would be lucky if games were selling at about 40 to 50% the rate of Steam, just because of the small size of the Epic user base, he told ours. But in most cases, we are on track to match or exceed Steam revenue. It's all proceeding faster than expected, end quote. Sweeney wouldn't share too many specifics, but did throw out a few numbers to highlight the faster-than-expected growth. 85 million total players with Epic Game Store installed and 4.5 million downloads for a free game like Subnautica, including 1 million downloads for newcomers to the store. As far as specific games go, Sweeney said that Deep Silver's Metro Exodus is selling 2.5 times better than in the first weeks as an Epic Game Store exclusive than its predecessor Metro Last Light did on Steam. For context, Sweeney added a similar comparison for the console versions only showed 1.5 times as many sales for the latest game in the series. The most surprising number Sweeney shared, though, is that fully half of all Fortnite players on PC had never used Steam before. That represents a new audience ripe to discover new games that Valve was not reaching, he said. Two things to talk about, right?
A lot of interesting stuff there.
Of course.
You want to start at the end and work our way back?
Sure, you want to go? Oh, I like so where you're at. So yeah, this Fortnite number, right?
It's interesting. It's cool. I mean, that makes a lot of sense, right?
Yeah.
We've been talking a lot, I'd say, in the last decade since the introduction of the Wii, mobile games, things of that nature, where there was an influx of potential gamers. Maybe have never had a controller in their hand or had any interaction or understanding that they do enjoy video games, and that is the first step towards playing quote-unquote real games, right?
Yeah.
And all it takes is to be introduced to the right one to become somebody that listens to this show.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
At least go down the path to do that. And I think Fortnite represents a new step, like the modern version of that, that is an even closer step to being able to play other games or wanting to play other games.
Right.
Because it is a bit more of a traditional experience.
Well, it's a traditional experience and it's just on every, it's on every platform, traditional or non-traditional.
Yes,
so exactly. That's the greatest point, what you're talking about, right? Well, yeah, if you are, let's say, a kid, right? You're in junior high, grade school, playing Fortnite on your iPad, on your phone. You go and you watch Ninja. You go and watch Essential West. You go and watch any of these Fortnite streamers and see them playing with a controller or on a PC.
Yeah.
Suddenly you are like, oh, is that a better way to play? You look into it more. You hear about your friends. And then it becomes, yeah, well, it is a better way to play. And that's where this gets interesting. Because now, suddenly, right, what would have the natural progression of that before would have been, oh, playing with a controller or a mouse and keyboard is a better way to do it. Consoles are cheaper, but they're still really expensive, right? In talking about a good console or something to that effect, right? or that, I put that in the wrong place. Consoles in general are cheaper than a PC, right? But if you have a PC at home, you have something at home that can probably run it, right? Fortnite's not that intensive. You can't get it running on an iPad, on whatever. You suddenly get in, and guess what? The storefront for Epic is free. You're able to jump in. You have Fortnite there on a desktop or the school computer or whatever. And suddenly, yeah, you're using it in a different way and finding it to be a different game in a way, a step up from what the touchscreen controls are. No knocks to touchscreens, but you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is fascinating, and I think that is one of the power moves of this that I don't know if we've thought about enough. I haven't thought about enough for sure. The fact that, yeah, there are a ton of Fortnite players out there, and so if you can just push them, nudge them to go on the computer they're already using at home or whatever to log in, even if it is like to get into the store, right? When I was at the Borderlands event, it dawned on me I hadn't bought the Guardians of the Galaxy Star-Lord skin for Fortnite, and right, I was very clear. Whatever they put out for these skins, Marvel characters, I'm going to buy it. I already bought Black Widow. I'm not even playing Fortnite right now, but I know I'll get back to it eventually. So I busted out my phone, right? Installed the giant update that I was like so far behind so on. Big, yeah. And then just bought it off the Apple store or the store through my phone. Not in any way planning to play on my phone with it, but I just wanted that before it went away. Mm-hmm. I think PC is another example of that, right? Where even if you are a mobile player, even if you are a console player, you get this, you download it, it's an easy way to get into the thing. It's an easy way to get your fix if you're on the go and you want to play something Fortnite related. And yeah, like you're talking about, it's an easier way to bridge that gap. You know, my mom plays PlayStation VR. She thinks it's awesome. She asked me how much it is. I explain that's not going to go over well, right? Yeah. But hey, there's this free thing called the Epic Game Store. You can get in there. You can play the free game that way. And suddenly, yeah, you're now surrounded and inundated with it, right? Mm-hmm. And back to Sweeney's point in the article that he talks about up here, right, in terms of getting people in there for, you know, 4.5 million downloads for a free game like Subnautica. The article, and it's, you know, the interview continues with him, goes on to talk about how they found success, obviously, with free games. And it's what you're talking about. Yeah. Of if you're already on the storefront and you're already there, why not get a game in front of somebody that they'll hopefully click on and download and play?
And at the end of the day, more people playing games means more money in games. It's all good news for people that enjoy games, right? Now, going back to the beginning of this stuff, I feel like there's a lot of tomfoolery.
Tomfoolery, you say?
Whoa. Yeah, and first off, Bear, can you bring up that Google search real quick?
For Chernobyl?
Oh, this?
And can you play it?
Here, play this for me. How do we say Ballyhoo?
Ballyhoo.
Ballyhoo.
Ballyhoo. Praise or publicized extravagantly. Ballyhoo.
Yeah, that's what I said earlier. But yeah, what I...
Epic Game Store is much ballyhooed.
That's what I was like jokingly saying, but I think it's it. Okay. Dumbass words.
What did I say? Ballyhooed?
Yeah. I don't know.
No,
that's what I said. That's what I said.
I was like, I thought I said Ballyhoo, but I don't know.
No, but it's talking about like trying to get game prices down. I'll believe it when I see
100%.
It. 100%. This sounds like such nonsense, such total made up, just trying to make it sound good for everybody. They're trying to twist this so it sounds good for the consumers buying the games, but also for the people making the games, who, guess what? Making those games cheaper is never going to benefit them.
No. I mean, for me, this is... Here's a perfect world scenario where if everybody wanted just to hit the same revenue they're generating now, this is what you do. Now, granted, he makes the argument that if you lower your game price, right, then more people would buy your game. Possible. I think you're going to see, as usual, indies experiment with this more.
That's the thing. There are cases where that is true. That is not a rule by any. It's the opposite of that. It is like there are exceptions to the rule being no.
$60.
There's $60 games for a reason, right?
That speaks. When you say you're paying $60, you know what you're getting. Exactly. You feel like it's the reason Dreams early beta, whatever they're calling it, early creators package launches without being full price, right? Like, no, this is, you're getting it early.
And I feel like especially with the free to play nature of things now, and where there is such success with games that are free, even a dollar puts those games in a different category. That is something that there is a step you have to take financially, even if it's not much. There's still that step. But then it's also not big enough of a jump for it to feel substantial. So it does feel a little bit more disposable, ironically, more disposable than a free game.
Sure.
If that makes sense, because that for the free game, you don't feel like you're losing anything. So if you do have a good experience with it, you're going to invest more time and you're going to see it as a quality product, and you can understand wanting to invest in the costumes and, you know, whatever microtransactions that they do have.
That's how it works for me with Fortnite, right? Where I played so many hours of it that when something comes around, even though I'm not playing that game anymore, I'm going to get back to it eventually.
You want
to
reward them for doing it correctly, right?
Right.
But cheaper titles, I feel like, have a much...
We're not there yet. This is what we've talked about this for years. As long as I can remember at IGN, when we talked about a digital future, if it would happen, then now being inevitable, blah, 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 that people will explore the scale of pricing. Mm-hmm. And that is not what I think is happening right now or will happen soon on Epic Games Store. I could be wrong, and I'd love to be wrong, but I do feel... Right now, when we talk about Epic Games Store, right, why are people going there? They are going there for the money. Epic is giving dump trucks of money out and giant checks out to get exclusives onto their platform and stuff. And, you know, capitalism, whatever. That's competition, how they're doing it. And I don't have a problem with it, but I'm aware many of the audience members do. This is the same thing there where, Grant, okay, we're getting money to come be an exclusive thing and we're getting a better rev share on the thing. And, like, why would somebody look at that and be like, unless they're totally being altruistic, which I'm not saying those developers don't exist and those publishers don't exist, but I do think they're going to sit there and go, well, no, we want to sell at $60. We don't, for the most part, if these games are cross-platform, right? We don't want to, if we're Metro, we don't want to piss off PlayStation and Xbox and undercut the price down to $47 and get the same amount of, you know, blah, 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 blah. Like, no, like, we're not there yet. Yeah. And I don't think that's going to happen for a while. Maybe we'll one day.
I do think it's interesting because, you know, we have been talking about this for so many years at this point, but I feel like it is no longer just the $60 price point that makes sense to people.
Yeah.
I feel like people have wrapped their head around a $40 price point as well.
Sure.
For titles that are, they're not budget, but like things like Ratchet and Clank, right? Things like the Crash Bandicoot.
Well, that was one of the six reasons I think Ratchet and Clank was so successful.
And Crash Bandicoot.
We got those games. We're like, oh, it's only four. Holy fuck, this game's great.
Exactly. Oh, but I feel like the $40 price point does make sense to people. And then when you go lower, obviously the free to play price point makes sense at this point. And I would say that on the indie side, there is a acceptance of the $10 to $20 level for games like Celeste. Like, people understand that, and they understand
that $14.99 is that sweet spot.
Exactly. Somewhere in there, yeah. It's like, cool, those games do exist, and there is a value associated. $47 for a new AAA game, I feel like that sounds like a sale as opposed to a MSRP.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I feel like until users can wrap their head around that being a constant that people can, not just people, developers are all kind of agreeing on as like, this is the point that these games sell at.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. And when you add on the fact that it would only be this on the Epic Store, not on Steam, not in other places, it's like, I don't buy it.
Well, Steam, you figure, I think for the most part, we're arguing about exclusives, right, to come in the Epic Store, so you can knock them out of the equation. But I do think if you are everywhere else, but even if you're not everywhere else, it's still up to the developer, and the developer is looking at the landscape, and they are saying, we have a $60 game. It would have to be somebody, it would have to be big. It would have to be somebody like Gearbox. Being like, hey, we believe in Borderlands 3, and we don't need more money, so we're going to come down. But then
that line's so funny.
And that's the whole thing. To be clear, it wouldn't even be Gearbox; it would be 2K, and it would, you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. But then again, Sony and Microsoft are like, what the fuck? Like, what, you know, why, you know, blah, blah blah. And there's this pushback and push and pull of it. Yeah, and that's not how companies are. That's not where we're at right now.
Yeah,
maybe one day, and it's it's an interesting thing. I saw somebody doing on the comments of this article doing napkin math of, like, I think it was $47 you could come down to, right? Mm-hmm. If you versus a 60 and a normal 30 split to this in the new 88 or 12 split. Or
whatever. I hope that Epic Store starts to speed up the process of solving all the problems that everybody has 100%. With it. And I want to believe in them doing that and that it's going to happen sooner than later. But I do feel like we're crossing that point, that threshold of, like, okay, stop talking about anything until you fix the issues at hand.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah, your friends list, your leaderboards, your online play, all the stuff that's missing.
Security stuff, all
that
stuff.
Yeah, exactly, right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it nets out, because I feel like for the majority of people, that's the argument they make, right, is that they're just not getting the features that they get out of this. Obviously, they want to have everything in one thing out of convenience, but it's also the fact that Epic Games, in terms of features, doesn't compete with Steam, and that's a big problem for them. We'll see how long it takes to get there. Isn't that right, Barrett?
Sure.
Thanks, bud. Yeah. Glad you're always into this show. Also, by the way, in the thing here, Brian points out Chernobyl is on Monday. So thanks for nothing, Barrett.
Chernobyl.
What is wrong with you? Where did you go to school?
Ohio.
That makes sense. Number two, Days Gone is still selling really well in the UK for April. This is Marie D'Alessandri from MCV UK. The monthly physical charts for April very much mirror this week's charts, with Days Gone being the best-selling title of the month after only 5 days on shelves, followed by Mortal Kombat 11. As we mentioned in the weekly charts, PS4 exclusive Days Gone was the biggest launch of the year, though by Sony's own high standards, it looks less impressive, as it shifted 38.8% less physical copies at launch than Horizon Zero Dawn, also a new IP, did. Some of this will be down to the digital shift, but the lukewarm reception certainly is accountable too. As a result of Days Gone's launch, the PlayStation 4 market share went up in April, with Sony's console representing 49% of all physical games copies shifted in the UK in April. Meanwhile, 5 days from launch, Mortal Kombat 11 debuted at number 2 in the monthly physical charts. The title had a 43.6% drop in launch sales from 2015's Mortal Kombat X, but with Warner Brothers Interactive president David Haddon had it, recently announcing that Mortal Kombat 11 put in the best launch of any Mortal Kombat title to date. It's more likely attributed to digital shift than fading interest. I put this in for a couple reasons.
Yeah.
Number one, of course, good job, Days Gone. Being able to break out and do that. And Mortal Kombat, interesting. Obviously, there's a difference in how much time they've been on shelves and such.
Yeah.
But I had skipped last week the initial weekly report that put Days Gone on the front. Because I felt, and I talked about it online to a couple kids, and I think on the subreddit maybe, talked about... It feels like recently when we've been doing UK charts for weekly stuff, it's just too little of a glimpse. Mm. Where when we talked about Anthem and then we talked about Division, those numbers were, hey, it's selling way less, but digital is a bigger deal now, right?
Yeah.
And so I don't know how much to not believe in them, but how much they actually give us an accurate picture. I thought it was more newsworthy outside of the glimpse of what it looked like in a weekly chart of what it looked like in the month of April with 5 days.
And comparing it to the other first party titles from Sony.
Exactly.
It is interesting to see that Days Gone is selling as well as it is, given all of the kind of meh reception it's been getting. But it's also a testament to the power of exclusives. And,
oh, sure. And marketing. You
know, and marketing and all that as well. But I really do feel like the majority of this would be like, oh, it's the next big Sony thing. I got to get it. I got to try it, right?
Yeah. And it's all... And I mean, that's... in that. I think Days Gone's been an interesting case of what's the difference between reviewing a video game and playing a video game and talking about what you like or hate about it, mm-hmm. right? Whereas I think... me coming into Days Gone and having to review it, I'm like, yeah, it's a mediocre game, whatever, right? And then seeing people like Michael Jones play Days Gone and being like, hey, I know the reviews are lukewarm, but I'm having a really good time with it. I think both of those statements are true, right?
Yeah.
It's not like one is... you can play that game. You know, Shinobi on Twitter put up that great video clip out. And I know when reviews dropped, he was very much like, hey, I'm still going to play this. I've had a lot of fun with games that are sixes, mm-hmm. right? Yeah, but he put up that great clip, right, of him... did you see this?
No.
Him sneaking up on a bunch of freakers or whatever. There's like three or four there. And he's sneaking through the bushes. And it's like a minute long clip. Sneaking through the bushes. And then all of a sudden, bam, it spawns a horde around him. Like he was, I guess, coming up on a horde, but it didn't load. So he's like walking in and then he just gets launched into this horde and killed himself.
That's awesome.
Like you can have fun in a game like that. Like and admit that absolutely. It's not perfect, right?
Yeah.
That's what's been interesting. Where I think I've seen a lot of push and pull. And granted, because I'm in the eye of the storm saying I didn't you know, really like the game or whatever, or don't think it's a great game, I should say, or a good game even at that. I'm seeing more flack from it than usual, but I'm having a great time with it. And you'll drill into like the comments that person's making, like, well, this doesn't run right and this sucks. I saw it, like when I was gone, one of the headlines you guys did is right. There's basically been a patch every day for Days Gone.
Yeah.
It was like, yeah, like this is what I'm talking about. It's like, you can enjoy these games for sure. I'm not trying to take away your enjoyment of it, but like if you're going to review the game in terms of how it actually stacks up against competition.
There's a fascinating conversation there with the patch thing too, that we don't necessarily need to have right now, but at some point, maybe on Gamescast or something. But I didn't realize that God of War had a similar situation going on where there was a patch almost every day when it first came out.
For the record, I don't think patching your game every day is bad.
And
fucking fix your game if something's not working right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But I was wondering, because it's, you know, God of War was getting 10s and like deserves 10s regardless of the patches or not. They didn't affect me at all.
Yeah.
I wonder if patches can fix a game that isn't a 10. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, at what point would your review score change from things that they can patch?
See, this is something that people are hitting me up about. Like, oh my God, you reviewed it before all the patches were out. And like, people, you reviewed it before the day one patch. I'm like, well, that's not my job. They gave it to me and reviewed it. And also the game was getting patched a million times while I played it. And the fact that it's still getting patched, now you're playing a game that doesn't have the day one patch, people. So like, whatever. The thing I went back to, and I've seen people in comment threads when people try to attack me for it, when they're being mean about it. So an attack, not the criticism of a review, which I'm fine with. But the thing of, my real problem with Days Gone has nothing to do with, I think the load times are too long, I fell through the world, it chugs here and there. My real time is I don't like the loop.
Yeah.
I don't like the gameplay loop. That's a design decision. Like, mm-hmm. that's not a patch thing. I don't think you can go through and maybe I would have been like, it runs better, yada, 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 but I still would have been like, I don't think the game is rewarding to play, like mm-hmm. in terms of how it rewards you and do all these. If they went and patched that stuff and it was doing a better job of leveling you, making you feel powerful, getting you into where you need to be, that'd be a different story. But that's so not what these patches are, right? One of the patches on the day was to fix an audio glitch.
We
broke that thing.
Sound.
So they put, you know.
And then another interesting thing here that I like that you put in was the Mortal Kombat stuff, because talking about the digital side of it versus physical, it's interesting that, you know, we only get to see certain sides, and it's rare we get the full picture of what it means. And as we move towards digital being the way that eventually most people will buy the games. We're not there yet. But talking about, meanwhile, Fighters from launch, Mortal Kombat 11 debuted at number 2 on physical. with a 43.6% drop in launch sales for Mortal Kombat 10. But then David, I didn't say it coming in saying like, but it is the best launch a Mortal Kombat game's ever had.
Yeah.
So it's like, that's cool telling, information. Right, yeah, it was very telling that like.
And of course, to keep in perspective, that's UK numbers, right? So it's 43% decrease in UK physical sales, not attributing for what's happening in the United States or other territories.
Is there ever that big of a discrepancy? Kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. I'm interested. I gotta imagine that no. Like, I'm sure there's exceptions with the soccer games or things that do have some type of territorial difference, but Days Gone, Mortal Kombat, like what? I don't think that there's a cultural difference there, right?
Sure. True. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I you know, it's possible somebody.
I don't feel like it's apples and oranges. I feel like it's like red apples and green apples.
I mean, you figure the UK is in their charts are usually a better microcosm of what probably is going to happen, right? And then you extrapolate that out. Yeah. Occasionally there's that differences where they were the ones, right, where Crash was on top of it for like 9 months.
I mean, it was on the top here too.
Nah, I heard it sucked here. Nobody liked it.
That's not true. The best thing is, like, look at the Amazon list. Amazon lists are a good way to kind of tell for America, just at a glance of how well games are doing. We look at the bestseller list for the year.
Yeah. So. All right. Number three, Fear Not, Freelancers. Work on Anthem continues. This is from Eddie over at GameSpot. BioWare's newest game, Anthem, received a mixed critical reception upon release in February. It sold very well, but it might not have had the impact some expected it to. BioWare later delayed a lot of the game's anticipated content, leading some to worry about its future. Some of Anthem's top developers are now speaking up to stress to fans that BioWare is committed to the project. Anthem's head of live services, Chad Robertson, said on Twitter that BioWare remains fully committed to the game and expanding it with new content. Quote, we remain 100% committed to Anthem and look forward to showing players the new content we are working on, he said. We want to make sure we aren't overpromising, so our updates on what's coming in the game will be focused when we have things near completion, end quote. A quote-unquote big team is working on Anthem's upcoming content across BioWare's Austin and Edmonton studios, Robertson added. The teams are specifically working on improving the game. BioWare lead producer Mike Gamble weighed in as well, and he said BioWare's commitment to Anthem has not changed, despite what you might have heard. In April, BioWare acknowledged that it hadn't done an optimal job of communicating with fans. Going forward, BioWare plans to stay quiet until work is closer to being finished. Quote, a lesson we have learned is that we have been talking about things too early. There are so many factors that cause us to pivot on our plans, whether it's bugs and stability issues, player feedback, or complications with a feature that require us to take more time to deliver it, BioWare said. Our goal is to tell you about new content and features once the work is closer to being done. What do you think of that, Tim?
Anthem still being talked about. That surprises me because I haven't heard anything really for a while. It kind of just fell off the face of the earth.
At no point am I ever attacking anybody, but you know I like to spice it up and keep different names in here.
Keep
right?
It spicy.
Over at IGN.com, there's a young lad named Matt Persla, who I don't think I've met, and if I had, I'm sorry, I forgot Matt. I originally read his article, right?
Okay.
And I put it in the rundown. Then. There's a different Matt Persla article I'd put in the run. I think it's going to be number five. Yeah, the COD news, right? So I was like, two Matt Persla articles in the run. I went and grabbed Eddie's. I think Matt's actually has more context to why this is making news now. So Matt's getting a double dip right here, all right? We're going back to IGN. 100% committed, blah, 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 blah. Lead producer on Anthem, Michael Gamble, retweeted Chad Robertson. We talked about that. Gamble notes that speculation around BioWare's support for the sci-fi shooter is incorrect. The commitment to the project remains strong. Speculation over BioWare's support of Anthem comes in the wake of reports claiming that major players in the game's development team have been moved off the project and onto the upcoming Dragon Age title. Games Radar reports that executive producer Mark Dara, lead director Jonathan Warner, and Michael Gamble have all stopped working on Anthem, although Warner is set to return after a sabbatical. Chad Robertson and lead producer Ben Irving are now the people to talk to regarding the future of Anthem, according to a tweet from Gamble. Mark Durr recently tweeted a tease that suggests he is working on Dragon Age 4, adding further fuel to the speculation around Anthem's future. It is not unusual for key creative staff to move on to new projects after the launch of a game, with the post-release maintenance and development left to a smaller team. However, even if this is standard industry maneuver, it is understandable why Anthem fans would be disappointed in the news due to the rocky state of the game. Having lead producers leave the project can appear like abandonment, especially considering that updates have been delayed. So there's context, I think, that was missing from Eddie.
That is key.
That's a little bit more than just like, oh, there's some tweets
about
it.
They're still working on it.
It's the rumor that everybody's leaving, right? And I don't... to bring you up to mind if you didn't, right? They talked about the fact that we talked about it, I think, on the day of, and then it got updated later, because now I'm looking at a Colin Stevens update from this, right? That they pushed back a bunch of Anthem stuff, talking about that they wouldn't be able to do it, right? Yeah. Though BioWare had delivered much of the planned Act 1 features on time, not every goal will be met. Instead, BioWare has been prioritizing things like bug fixes, stability, and game flow over the new features of Act 1. We set aside time for this work, but the reality is that there are more things to fix and improve than we planned for. While this is the best thing to do for the game, it means some of the items on the calendar will be delayed, end quote. The features that have been delayed include the Mastery System, Guilds, Legendary Missions, Phase 2, a weekly Stronghold Challenge, leaderboards, some free play events, and Cataclysm. Cataclysm in particular remains a big focus of the game and will bring new challenges and rewards. More info on Cataclysm will be shared in May. So I want to give a full rundown report clarity on what we're talking about there.
Yeah.
So that brings it up back to Tim. Oof, Anthem.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's such a sad thing to see, man. Like, it's just so unfortunate that a game that was so looked forward to by so many people and, like, really should have been something special just dropped the ball so hard. And it is one of those tales of I don't think that they can steer the ship at this point. And
so what would you do? Would you abandon?
I don't know. Is it like just move them on to Dragon Age? And also, that's not how that works. It's not like those three guys moving.
Yeah. Now the team's lost. They don't know what they're doing.
That's not how that works.
Do we make a dinosaur game? No. Yeah. No, you don't.
So I do feel like there's kind of hyperbole when it comes to some of the potential drama. And also, they're addressing it here of like, that's not the case, whatever. Them still working on the game, that's great for the fans of Anthem. It's great for people that have invested time and money in this game. But at what point is it just like, all right.
Lost cause.
It's a lost cause, you know?
I mean, I don't think you can let Anthem be a lost cause for a long time.
But that's the thing is, you can't.
Yeah.
But then it's like, then what point is there an Anthem 2? Is there an Anthem 2? You know?
I mean, there would have to be such a redemption arc.
Yeah.
That I don't know if they have them in it. And now, here's the thing about Anthem. As somebody who enjoys Anthem and enjoyed Anthem at the launch, right, in the gameplay or whatever, obviously I understand the problems. I don't play it right now because I'm playing Division.
You're on the opposite side of the Days Gone conversation.
Right, yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, but like, am I? Because this would, I am, but I would never be the guy who's like arguing against the reviews. But I guess Michael Jones didn't argue against the reviews either. Yeah. I'm with you. Okay, sorry. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I am. There's fun to be had there.
You have fun with a bad game.
Right, exactly. But I'm not the looter shooter dude, so blah, blah, blah. All that out the window, right? I still follow all the subreddits, the subreddit for Anthem, and they are so fucking angry. And understandably, because it's their game, and then now you figure, when Anthem launched and it was all fucked up, and we were like, man, this is going to be interesting to watch. What did we all double back to? No Man's Sky. No Man's Sky did it. No Man's Sky took it on the chin and did all those things, and then they went quiet and blah, blah, blah. No Man's Sky and this are completely different, right? Because Anthem, of course, is a games as a service. People are logging on every day looking for store updates, or every couple days for store updates, weekly challenges, blah, blah, blah. There's live streams from them that are, you need to be communicating and over-communicating. And so they're in such a lose-lose situation here where, well, we're only going to communicate when we have something to say. Okay, what we have to say is that we don't have the thing we're going to have. We still have stuff coming up in May, and you keep moving the goalposts further and further out. You're just going to keep pissing people off. And I don't know if when we get there, you hope they talk about May, right, in terms of having more stuff. What is going to happen at E3? Yeah. You assume they're going to be at EA Play. They have to be at EA Play, right? And then is it that they have... If they're this far behind on the roadmap in Act 1 of not being able to get there, and for the record, just to give credit where credit's due, this is the update to the article we did talk about back in the day, Anthem Update 1.1.0, which it did add, hey, you don't have to go back to the Forge anymore, you don't have to go to home base, you can go mission to mission to mission, which are like quality of life in quotes, but really gameplay flow stuff that should have been fixed at launch, but they fixed it, so that's great. They are making the improvements people want, just at a slower clip. So are you going to tell me you're going to come to E3/EA Play, right? Because they don't really call it E3, but it's E3.
Yeah.
You're going to come to E3 and deliver and show something and be able to be like, this is all, look at Cataclysms and look at all this cool, and have people be like, all right, why are you showing us future shit when you can't get your shit together on what the shit is right now?
Yeah. That's really, really key and really important. And I kind of disagree. I mean, I know you said it's not the same, but I even disagree with the No Man's Sky thing, because it's like, okay, sure, No Man's Sky fixed it over years, but I feel like it is an example of it being too late, because No Man's Sky was a PlayStation exclusive title that should have been a huge hit, and it wasn't because of its issues. So then, them fixing the stuff, I really do feel like it was such a... It went from a top-tier title to like, oh yeah, it's a game that exists, and it also was ported to other systems. So I feel like that was kind of treated as like a second chance.
Yeah.
But then all of a sudden, what used to be a premier AAA looking title kind of feels more AA now, right? Because of the issues that it had. And I feel like Anthem doesn't have that luxury in any existence.
Fair, totally fair, totally fair.
But
yeah, I don't know. And this goes back to, you know, it's funny when all of it was falling apart for Fallout 76, remember? That was the one where I was like, man, what the fuck are they going to do at E3? How do you come out and do your Bethesda conference and not address the elephant? And then Anthem's like, hold our beer, and came out and really fucked everything up. And now it's like, well, gee, and I don't even know, and is, I don't know if that's fair to say really fucked up. I think Anthem, from a gameplay core experience, was running better than Fallout was at launch. But all that besides, there was way different expectations on this. This was a BioWare game. This was an EA game. Mm-hmm. What are they going to do? What do you do? I don't know.
I don't know. And I mean, that goes back to the, you bring in a Fallout's, very important, because you know how we were so dire and like thinking about everything, being like, oh man, this is bad with Fallout 76, to the point that we're like, are they even gonna show up? Are they gonna do a conference at E3? Right. Can they? And I feel like in a lot of ways, time heals all wounds. If not that, then at least time makes you forget. You know?
Yeah.
But this is gonna have its conference, and what are they gonna do about Fallout 76? What are they gonna say?
I think for Fallout 76, honestly, I mean, I've seen the same thing there where people are still playing Fallout 76. I see people in our ecosystem tweet that, oh man, Fallout 76 got an update and I'm playing it, it's good. Like, I don't think people are saying it's a fucking 9 out of 10, but I think they're gonna be able to come out and be like, we had a rocky launch and show bugs and make fun of it, but we've added the wild Appalachia content. People spelled that out. Appalachia?
I think so.
Somebody wrote in like, you offend us when you say it wrong. It's Appalachia. And I'm like, I don't know. I'm just trying to help out, man. Just trying to fucking talk about it. Fallout. We added the Wild A DLC. Like, you know, they
Wild A.
They should be able to come out, you hope, knock on wood, and be like, hey, here's all the cool shit and stability improvements we've made. Blah, blah, blah. Or maybe they should like Elder Scrolls Online, where it is like, cool, there, it's going, and granted, it's popular, Elder Scrolls Online, but it's going and it has a fan base, and here's what we're doing for that fan base, but let's move on. Yeah. Let's talk about Wolfenstein 2. Let's talk
times.
About,
but yeah, it's like, you know what I mean? On the other side, EA can't just not have Anthem.
No, they can't.
Yeah.
And, but does BioWare have anything up their sleeve? You would have thought that if Anthem could have been in a, hey, this game's great, it's good, it's well, you should give Anthem another look. If those articles were happening nowish, great. Absolutely. They're talking here at the end of the thing, or the end of the other article, saying Cataclysms are coming in May, right? Or end of May. Like, that's too late.
It is.
You can't, I mean, you can come off the thing and be like, our first, the Cataclysm's live, and that's a big deal for us, but like, are the articles going to have spun around and people know what's going on? No, it has not. Number four, Tim. Or, well, you got me. How am I saying Appalachia? Appalachia? Appalachia?
People from there say Appalachia.
Appalachia.
Yeah. Okay. So if you're not from there, a lot of people who aren't from there say Appalachia. So I just feel like the people who are from there are.
It's West Virginia? That's where it is, right?
Yeah.
Hold on.
Country roads.
I think they're a bunch of weirdos.
Whoa!
Just say the fucking word right, you know?
Yeah.
Appalachia.
God damn it.
Who do we know from West Virginia?
Who the fuck could this be?
Cisco.
Please leave your
message. All right, well, don't worry about it. It was going to be a special guest.
Damn it.
It won't be now. It's nobody. Cisco.
We'll never
you
know.
You think Cisco knows West Virginia really well?
I don't know.
He's been there, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Nah, I'm not going to call Cisco. Number four! Riot Games is dropping mandatory arbitration. This is from James Batchelor at GamesIndustry.biz. Riot Games has promised to give employees the ability to opt out of mandatory arbitration, although not until current legal battles have been resolved. Last week, it emerged that the studio behind League of Legends has been trying to move lawsuits over gender discrimination into private arbitration on the basis that the women in question signed clauses allowing this when they were hired.
I'm one of them dumb kids. Don't know what arbitration means. So I was like, I'm going to Google it. I Google it. And the definition is the use of an arbitrator to settle a dispute.
Cool.
Fuck you.
So it would basically be, they basically signed away the right to go to court.
Okay.
You can't go to court. We have to go to private arbitration where we'll talk to a third party, an unbiased third party, who will then decide what happens, who gets what.
Got it. Okay.
Frustration over this, and thank you for asking the question because I'm sure there's plenty of people out there who also don't know. Frustration over this among Riot staff escalated over the following days to the point where there was talk of a mass walkout. Now the company has announced changes to its internal policies following extensive discussions across the company, promising to eventually drop the mandatory arbitration clause. Quote, as soon as current litigation is resolved, we will give all new riders the choice to opt out of mandatory arbitration for individual sexual harassment and sexual assault claims, the firm wrote. At that time, we also commit to have a firm answer around expanding the scope of extending this opt-out to all riders, end quote. The company acknowledged that this news will, this news, quote, will not satisfy all riders, end quote, and understands that the staff protest, if staff protests against this next week. Riot added, quote, we are facing a complicated situation which I gotta drink water. I love the coffee, but then it just makes me not be able to read.
I get it, man. It's hard. Riot added, we are facing a complicated situation with no perfect solution, so arriving at a decision has not been easy. We are working diligently to resolve all ongoing litigation so that we can quickly take steps toward a solution that more rioters feel good about.
This is where we are right now, but this is an ongoing process, and there's more to come. That's a shitty thing to put in your contracts.
Oh, absolutely.
Mandatory arbitration. Fuck off. Let them sue you. And I understand you put it in there so they don't sue you, but then you look like a douche when you do something really douchey like this and fucking have this weird sexual harassment with sexual... Like, come on.
Yeah.
Like, this is... Yeah, how can the Riot story get worse? This.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I need some clarification because, again, one of them dumb kids.
Sure.
This is good news, right?
Yes. But it's good.
It shouldn't have been a thing in the first place.
It's good news. Absolutely. It's good news, but it doesn't help the people who are still going to be put into mandatory arbitration for this.
Yeah.
Currently.
Right. So all the stuff that came out of Cecilia's reporting, Kotaku's reporting, right, about like, hey, this is what the horrible culture at Riot that then let people, and then people started suing and doing all this different stuff, they're still locked up in the, they have to do the arbitration.
As soon as current litigation is resolved, then, okay.
Right.
Cool.
And that's where it rings empty. Now, I think it sucks. I think that's terrible. I think if you're Riot and your company culture is already this bad, if, you know, people are that already that upset, not upset to be working at Riot necessarily, but that down to the dumps about working at Riot, where do you work, Riot? Oh my God. Are you okay? Is this working? Whether it has affected you or not, right? You're getting drugged through the mud. The right thing to do is to cancel all of that. However, the smart legal move, I'm sure, is not to cancel all of that. I don't understand legal ease to begin with because I'm a moron. I don't even know if that is possible to go through. And I don't know how many lawsuits are out there right now for any of that shit or whatever. Yes, it's a good move going forward. It's awesome that the riders who were getting ready to do this walkout were able to move the needle and make it happen for the future. It still sucks for the people caught in that, who are the people they're worried about. So I don't think it stops the walkout, and I don't think it solves the problem. Yeah. It doesn't make Riot look good, and it keeps on moving the... backwards and backwards and backwards. Yeah. And again, not sure if you can do that. Not sure if their lawyers are like, there's legitimately no way to do that, like to take that out. But otherwise, you're dropping charge. I don't know how any of that works. But shitty situation. Mm-hmm. Don't put that in your fucking contracts.
Yeah.
Do we have that in our contracts?
I don't think we have contracts. We do.
Great point. We never made you sign anything.
I never signed
anything. Neither did Andy. He bitches about it quite a bit.
Paying you.
That's how it works.
That's really scary. Wait, we started paying that's not you? How it works.
Huh?
That's not how it works.
Do you have health stuff?
I think so.
Then that is how it
you've
works.
Never used it?
I think so.
You're fine.
If Nick hadn't been stupid and missed his own flight to Canada, he'd be here and he'd be able to tell you.
It wasn't his fault.
Kind of sounds
and
like
also,
it was.
If he was here, he wouldn't be able to tell
no,
anyone
No, nobody
anything.
Knows how it really works here. We all just we're all friends with a song and a dream out here trying to make it happen. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sucks, but whatever. I mean, not whatever. I'm sorry. That's how I'm ending it. It sucks, period. I don't know how you get out of it because I'm not a business person.
Yeah.
And I don't know if Riot would want to because I just don't. Does that open up more legal shit for them? Should that matter? When it all broke, they started doing the roundtables. They started changing the policies. They started hiring more people. They started doing, like, they're clearly trying to make it right.
Yeah.
Is this the ship's already out of the station? We're fucked?
I don't know. Best of luck to the people that need help.
Agreed. Number 5. Shocking news, everybody. There's a new Call of Duty coming, and it's coming soon. The news of it, at least. Matt Perslow, star of the day.
Wow.
Do you know Matt from IGN? Did you ever meet him, Barrett?
The name doesn't sound familiar. I imagine
he's a news freelancer?
I imagine he's a freelancer.
Well, hey, Matt Perslow, you're killing it out there. Come on the Kind of Funny Games Daily sometime. The next Call of Duty game will be revealed within the next 2 months. Yet during yesterday's Activision financial call, which discussed the results of the company's first quarter 2019, it was confirmed that the next game in the long-running series would be revealed later on in 2019's second quarter. The second quarter of 2019 will end on June 30th. E3 2019 sits squarely within the quarter, but it seems more likely that Activision may opt to announce this year's Call of Duty as a dedicated event prior to E3, as it did for Black Ops 4 last year. Greg Miller was there, no big deal. That's not in the article. Matt, you're free to put that in next time. The call offered no information about the upcoming game, but we do know that it will feature a story campaign, that it is Infinity Ward on duties for this year's entry, and that's due to release in the traditional Q4 slot.
We were talking about this a bit yesterday on Gamescast, but it's interesting that this year, at least for what we know right now, Call of Duty is kind of the only traditional shooter coming out in the fall, right? We got Borderlands in September, but once you get later past that, it really kind of is Call of Duty's year to own this.
Is there no Battlefield this year?
Right?
Arguably?
I don't think so, right? Because Battlefield 5 was last year. We still don't have the Battle Royale mode.
I thought they did finally. They got
did
that
they?
In. Yeah. Really?
I think that might have come out. Let's see.
That came out. Yeah, I remember talking about that.
Battlefield.
People have been playing the Battlefield Battle Royale thing. While you do that, I want to look. You're looking. You're both Googling. I want to shout this out to nanobiologists who, of course, are smarter than me. You said arbitration means they can't get sued, but it is an alternative to it is an alternative to litigation. It is faster in courts. It is cheaper to hire. It is cheaper to hire lawyers and requires less evidence. The main downside is rulings are more set in stone and lead to a take-it-or-leave-it ending. Thank you, nanobiologist. Again, all my stuff's based on The Practice with Dylan McDermott.
Yeah, it is out. And
told you.
People aren't liking it.
Yeah, no, I knew that part, too. You want to talk about a game that just did not move the needle? Yeah. Battlefield 5.
So, yeah, I mean, Call of Duty coming back with a story campaign. It's like, that's... It's,
oh, really?
What's up?
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so been like confirmed. That's, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. I think it was in the article.
It was
read.
In the article, yeah.
Thanks for listening, Barry.
I was looking up if Battlefield 5
What's Chernobyl? I don't know what Chernobyl
yeah,
is.
Yeah, obviously, Call of Duty is always a behemoth, but I feel like it's very primed this year to kind of have its own spot, you know, unless there's some really heavy hitters that we don't know about.
Yeah.
Because if there's no Battlefield, there's no Battlefront. I don't know.
Yeah.
Usually there's no Titanfall.
Jonathan Ruiz 89 in the chat made a good point of... What about Bad Company 3? I'd be very down for that.
Ooh.
People would really like that. Yeah. That would be a good one. That would be a good one.
Bring okay. back some of that good faith.
Tim?
Yeah.
I tell you what, man.
Mm-hmm.
I love talking to you about the news.
Mm-hmm.
I love when the news is happening, but I also like when games come out. You know what I mean?
I do.
And so...
It's so long.
Still so long. Still so long. There's so long games coming out. Well, no, I'm stretching just a bit. PC Games N... no, this Ian Bordeaux says that we're about to see a Tom Clancy game released on... Or announced on May 9th. I think I had seen this rumor before. I thought it was more confirmation. It was from you're wrong. I've seen this. We'll deal with it when we have to. Sorry. Tim.
Mm-hmm.
Just tell me what the fucking list is called.
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show host each and every week.
Yeah. Before we get to that, Weissmark says, gamer law student here, mandatory arbitration usually sucks because the employer will often get to choose the arbiter and it won't be as non-biased as a judge. While they did sign away their rights in their contract, the employees may still be able to sue if arbitration fails or a court thinks that arbitration would be too unfair. Lots of courts have held that mandatory arbitration clauses violate the National Labor Relations Act. Thank you very much. That's awesome. Everybody's nailing it. We're doing great. I'd usually say out today and then read a bunch of games names, but instead I'm going to tell you about our sponsors. First, it's Sherry's Berries. Mother's Day is coming, and there's absolutely nothing most of us want to do to make sure moms have a special day in their life. My mom deserves to be happy for Mother's Day. God knows I didn't make her happy any other day of the year, you know what I mean? Always with the, when you coming home, where you at? This is how you make her happy. I send her a box of Sherry's Berries.
Gotta love them berries.
Sherry's Berries has a special Mother's Day berries package designed just for mom. They're topped with chocolate chips, pink shimmer sugar, and swizzles. These are chocolate-covered strawberries, ladies and gentlemen. They sent them here. Let me tell you, I got all up in that pink shimmer sugar.
Kevin will not stop talking about those swizzles.
Because they're amazing.
Yeah,
we love the Sherry's Berries. Legitimately, they're amazing, and it's time to get them for your mom. Make her happy. You choose your delivery date to ensure mom gets your gift of Sherry's Berries exactly when you want her to, and your satisfaction is always guaranteed. Don't wait until the last minute on this one. Visit berries.com today to order your freshly dipped strawberries starting at $19.99 for the moms in your life. As I said, ladies and gentlemen, many times on Monday, you will forget about this. You will forget that Mother's Day is coming. Mm-hmm. You will panic and it will be too late. Pull the bus over right now. Tell the kids, hold on a second. The podcast I listen to is telling me to get some berries. To make mom really happy, you can double the berries for just $10 more.
Fun.
Mother's Day is Sunday, May 12th. So visit berries.com. That's berries.com. Click on the microphone in the upper right corner and enter my code KFGames. Kevin, do you like them?
So good.
That's berries.com. Click the microphone code KF Games. While you're at it, why not get her some flowers from Pro Flowers? Don't forget to thank the real pros this Mother's Day. Where would you be without your mom? The answer is nowhere. Or if you were like a clone like Superboy, you'd still be around And you'd still have half the DNA of Clark and half the DNA of Lex. Spoilers for Superboy's origin. Okay. My mom is a pro at making me laugh, so I want to be a pro, and that's why I get our flowers. Andrea loves them. Gia loves them. Paula loves them. Jen loves them. And there is so much to love about Pro Flowers. Pro Flowers lets you choose from a variety of bouquets and unique vases that suit every mom's style. Then simply select the delivery date you want. Pro Flowers carefully packages your flowers and delivers them fresh from the farm. And express delivery means your flowers stay fresh. Right now, get one dozen assorted roses for $19.99. Double the roses, you get a premium vase for just $9.99. Visit proflowers.com, click the microphone in the upper right corner, and enter my code KF Games. That's proflowers.com, click the microphone, code KF Games. Mother's Day is May 12th, so don't wait. Order like a pro and get this amazing rose deal to thank the moms in your life. And I know what you're thinking. Hey, Greg, I'm a listener. I pulled over the bus when you said to, but guess what? I hate my mom. Guess what? Oh. There's other people in your life who would love flowers. Send them to your dad. Send them to your wife.
Anybody.
Send them to your boyfriend.
Send them to you.
Send them to your husband. Send them to yourself. You know what I mean? Get really crazy. Send the flowers to Sherry's Berries. Send the berries to Pro Flowers.
Wow. Wow.
Thank them for supporting the show, right? We just did it. We just nailed it.
Double the fun.
Out today! Hitman 2, Elusive Target, The Undying, starring Sean Bean, is returning today. You can get that until June 3rd. Right. So that's back, right? Yeah, everybody liked that one a lot. The SNK 40th Anniversary Collection is out on the Xbox One X family of devices, or whatever they call it here. I'm not going to read all that. Oh, yeah. And then Splitgate is having an open beta this weekend, May 3rd through the 6th. You, of course, know us from playing it on Party Mode.
Check out the Party Mode. Splitgate is such a rad game. It's Portal meets Halo.
Yeah.
No, it's Halo meets Portal, I think is a better way to put it.
Okay.
And man, it feels great, looks great. I hope that this is a hit because it's surprised.
It's
the
also
hell
a super small team
it.
That yeah. of like kids. They just came out of college.
And it is the level of polish on it blew me away.
YouTube.com/kindoffunnygames, Party Mode, Splitgate. Arena, get in there. Other games coming out are Shadows of Adam on Switch, Purple Chicken Spaceman on Xbox One, because we are out of names. Helmet, the Badass from Hell on Switch, Gyro Boss DX on Switch, Combate, Monero, PC and Mac, Run for Cover PC, and Space Warfare on PC and Mac. Hey, you're looking at your thing, right?
And
I did not put them in there. I put all the ones out of my press releases.
Got it.
Forgot to put like the real ones that are just doing them. You know what I mean? Well, what are you going to do?
I did some Googling, Greg.
Lay me on the Googs.
Is an employee contract necessary? No. Most employees don't have employment contracts, and they don't need them. They work under an implied employment contract, meaning that the general terms of employment are determined by state and federal laws, as well as previous court cases, a legal concept called common law. That's all the things that we have in the... In the room back there on the wall?
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So you were good, Barrett. We're good. You're official. Okay,
enjoy the money. You know what I mean?
Keep getting paid.
Enjoy coming to Vancouver for once.
For once.
I'm glad you're finally coming to one of these.
Yeah, because, you know, I don't have to pay for it.
I've invited you every time.
I know. And you know what? I can't afford all these fucking flights everywhere.
What we the, pay what you. What, where's the money go that we can pay you?
To rent. To
what are the chances,
I noticed he's got a lot of new hats all the time. You
oh
know
my
what I
god,
mean?
He does
it's
have a lot of hats.
One,
and a lot of Facebook algorithm shirts,
it's
too.
It's the one fucking hat. It's the one hat.
I noticed that the t-shirt you're wearing looks pretty new. Where'd you get that?
I got it from you guys.
We got it. We got you, fucker. Tim, I got a question for you.
What's that question,
Alec
Greg?
Bob Co. writes in my to Patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, so I bought an Xbox One last weekend, and it should be arriving today. I got a deal on Newegg for $180. Thanks, Wario64. I'm planning on getting Game Pass, but I want to pick up a couple of physical games just in case the streaming doesn't work out well, and I have to download games. Is there anything you guys suggest I play on Xbox first? You have the Xbox One X. You got the crazy TV.
Yeah.
You play all your third party games on your Xbox
One.
Yeah,
yeah. I'm trying to think of some good ones here. My gut says Resident Evil 2.
Oh, nice one.
It looks really great. And it definitely takes advantage of the X. Devil May Cry 5 is another great, great visual feast for your eyes. You know what I mean?
I love a feast for my eyes, really. Okay, well, yeah.
But yeah, both those games are great games, and I feel like really push the Xbox One X and its capabilities, the HDR, all the beautiful stuff, if that's what you're going for.
I would also say Forza Horizon 4 if you're looking for some good...
Some pretty shit?
Some pretty shit, and it's also just like
that's
a fun
pretty
game.
Shit.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm ending there.
That's where you're ending. Oh, wow. Yeah. That was it.
Because, I mean, I want to give some, like, options that are exclusive... And forever, that would have just been Cuphead. But Cuphead, now on Switch. And also, don't need the X for that at all.
I also want to point something out.
What do you want to point
and
out?
And this is one of those, I'm going out on a limb here, but I'm pretty sure I'm right about this, right? Because I don't use it often. I'm a Sony pony, blah, 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 blah. I'm planning on getting Game Pass, but I want to pick up a couple physical games just in case the streaming doesn't work out so well. You don't stream on Game Pass, right? You just download on Game Pass. Yeah, that's the whole difference between PlayStation Now. PlayStation Now lets you stream and download now. Game Pass is only download.
Straight up download.
So yeah. I have bad news for you, Alec. You ain't fucking streaming shit.
PS Now, you can only download PS4 and PS2 games? I feel like there's a weird one. Like you still can't download PS3 games or something.
Yeah, probably. That makes sense because they're doing the rendering back end or whatever. Or not the rendering, engine, whatever.
Cell processor. We're going to be, this will never blow up in our face and ruin everything. Cell processor.
Yeah. That's all you got?
Everyone says Assassin's Creed Odyssey looks great on the X, but I didn't play it, so I can't.
Odyssey gameplay. And I would say Origins as well.
Yeah.
Yep. I played that on the X.
Okay. Good talk, everybody.
Yeah.
I have one that leads in, because you're about to do the Kinda Funny screencast after this. Right?
Yeah.
Tim?
Yeah.
I believe news on there will be the fact that they are redesigning Sonic the Hedgehog, correct?
That's going to be the big topic, yeah.
David Scott has a question lining up with that, but not about that. With the news that they are going to redesign Sonic in his upcoming movie, I have a question for you guys. I know it's not exactly one-to-one comparison, but if you could have asked for any video game character to be redesigned, which character would it have been? Kevin came in here like a hawk if you're going to start talking about it.
Bring back Fat Pikachu, baby.
Fat Pikachu back.
Dude, yeah, man. I miss that little son of a bitch. You know how much better Detective Pikachu would be if he had some chunk on him?
How fat was Fat Pikachu?
Oh.
He was fucking fat.
He was chonky. Hey, Barrett, can you Google Pikachu for me? You know what? Add the word fat.
I was
going to
say, shouldn't he Google Fat Pikachu?
But yeah, like, that's how Pikachu originally looked.
Really? He's
for
cute.
For years.
Very cute.
You know,
man, there are some
go
fucking,
up to the 98-2010
there are
thing.
Some nightmarish ones up there now.
Up to the right. Oh, yeah, click on that guy. Like, this is what we've been given over time. He's been shamed.
No, he's been working out. He's been peeking more.
Nah, dude.
Pika-pika!
Oh, no.
That's horrifying. That is just horrific.
Yeah, bring back Fat Pikachu. Otherwise, I feel like Sonic is a good one that needed a couple redesigns a couple times. Yeah. I really enjoyed when they brought back Classic Sonic in Generations and had the two of them side by side. That was a fun little thing. I don't know.
Okay.
What about you, Greg?
I can't answer this question because I made one of them happen.
Mm.
If you remember, at IGN, I had a fucking meltdown when the Game Informer cover for Infamous 2 dropped.
That's right.
And it had Trendy Hipster Cole on it. And we immediately went and did a game scoop, I believe, where I just was like, what the fuck? And I have a feeling if I went back and listened to it, it would all be cringe for me.
Oh, yeah, like, absolutely.
What the fuck, blah, blah. But I also like to imagine I wasn't very like attacked. I was just like, why did they change him? He didn't need to change, blah, blah. This ruins what I loved about the first game in terms of that character, blah, blah. And of course, enough people said that kind of stuff. And I hope we're horrible, but I'm sure we were all horrible. And then they changed.
Yeah.
And they brought around regular Cole.
I would say just because I'm, you know, a nerd and replaying the Batman Arkham games. It's weird going back to Asylum and City and like how chunky everybody is.
Oh, sure.
Like, if you want to talk about chunk, like everybody in those games are like big. Remember Buff Gordon? Buff Gordon was hot.
Yeah.
But it was it's kind of weird.
Yeah.
So I would go back and redesign those, maybe.
Catching up on your wrong. Date I miss here. Lord of Pwn points out Valhalla is out on PS4 and Switch today. Nanobiologist points out, Tim, you forgot Sunset Overdrive is a fun Xbox exclusive.
Didn't play it.
Yeah, but that's a good one right there. You know what I mean? So good.
But is it enhanced for X?
Who the hell knows? You know what I mean? What time we got? I got two questions here. No, I don't like that one. Tommy Boy gets the final question of the week at patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, hey, Greg. I know you were excited about Oculus Quest. Beyond Beat Saber, what games are you excited to play on it? If you listen to the Kinda Funny Games cast available right now on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, you can hear me talk about my impressions. I have a review unit of the Oculus Quest. I have not had as much time to play as I like. What I'm currently impressed with is just the device itself. I've been playing Beat Saber, obviously, but the ability to trace out my thing, see the world around me, peek my head around. These stories make no sense until you listen to the games cast. I'm impressed with the device. Game-wise, I'll just wait for awesome games for it and see what happens. I'm very excited. You should be, too. It's time to squad up. This is where one of you writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunny. Give me your games. Patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Give me your name, username, platform choice. Why are you helping a video game? I already hear the best friends find you. Everybody has fun. Today, Kevin needs help in Xbox and life goals. He is Zoltan85, all one word on Xbox. I play a ton of Xbox, and I'm on all platforms, but today I wanted to try to get a kind of funny best friend shout-out as I am getting married today to my best friend, Ashley.
All right.
Keep doing what you guys are doing and keep up the good work. Kevin and Ashley, happy marriage. Everyone on Xbox Live, send an Xbox message to Zoltan, Z-O-L-T-A-N, 85, saying happy marriage to you and Ashley.
Love it.
We wish you all the success in the world. Here is an achievement point, because I heard you can trade them.
Can you trade achievement
you
points?
You sure can't. No. Oh, okay. That was a test, Barrett, and you passed. Congratulations.
Because I don't play on it.
You're wrong. It's been cleaned up as we did the show, so everything's fantastic. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily. Every weekday, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show. Patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Listen on podcast services around the globe. Watch on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. What are you looking at? Jesus Christ. YouTube.com/kindoffunnygames. Roosterteeth.com. Next week, your host lineup looks like this. Monday, me and Andrea. Tuesday, me and Tim. Wednesday, me and Witta. Thursday, me and Andrea. Friday, me and Nathan Brandt.
All right.
Brandt. Until next time.
And before that, D.
There's a T. There's so many consonants at the end of this thing. Until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.